This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasolines. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now your host, Rick Moore.
Hi there, I'm Rick Moore. Thank you for tuning in again today, Sunday, September 20th. And you know what next week is, Sean? You know what next week is? Pets Drive. Pledge Drive. It's Pledge Drive somewhere. But it's Pledge Drive at WNRN. So get with it today. Start balancing your checkbook and paying off your credit card bills so you know you have space and funds for next week's Pledge Drive. But this week, we won't ask for any money. We just ask for attention. And we'll thank Blue Ridge Graphics for helping us do that money-free. Blue Ridge Graphics, you can find them at Meade Avenue and East High Street, serving Charlottesville with custom T-shirts, sportswear, and professional graphic design since 1979. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746. Online, brgtshirts.com. All right, today we'll do this somewhat money request free. Jack Marshall here in the studio with us. Jack, are you there?
I am. Good evening. Afternoon, morning.
Good afternoon, good evening, good morning. Somewhere around the world, someone is listening, and that applies to them. Jack Marshall, president of Advocates for a Sustainable Albemarle Population, ASAP. How'd you come up with that name?
After fighting for months. I think we spent more time back in 2002 when we were founded picking a name and a logo than we did about our ideology. But it seems to have worked.
I think a lot of you must have somebody in graphic design in your group.
We did. One of our founders initially was the head of a local graphic design.
I have a friend who's a graphic design artist, and everywhere that I hang out with her, that's an interesting color palette. Ooh, check out that font. Ooh, the lettering is just slightly apart there. You know, they could have fixed that. And I've discovered the importance of color palettes, letter fonts, and spacing.
And did you like the ASAP logo?
Oh, of course. Why wouldn't I?
Well, because some people don't. They can't quite figure out what those odd lines are.
Well, we are here ASAP. I'll use that throughout the hour most of the time rather than repeating Advocates for a Sustainable Albemarle Population. Jack Marshall here, who's the president. We're going to talk about growth. How much growth is too much growth will be a major part of our hour. ASAP, how did it get created? Why was it created? Was there a specific incident that brought about ASAP?
No, not a specific incident, but a slow, almost imperceptible bunch of incidents. Growth for the last 30 years in Albemarle County has occurred at a pace faster than India. It's been...
Seriously?
Yep. India's growing at about 1.2% a year. Albemarle County...
But at a much smaller original starting base.
Well, I mean, Albemarle County had, I'm not talking about numbers of people, but the pace of growth. India's pace has been about 1.8%, and Albemarle County's has been 2.1% for the last 30 years. And that has implications for our quality of life, for the local environment, for our taxes, and so forth. And a bunch of local environmental activists and other civic activists got around a table in 2002. Actually, we started a year before, fighting among ourselves about what we should do, and said that this is simply not a sustainable way to keep our community going, and that the local environmental groups were apparently hesitant to attack the growth issue head on. They kind of hemmed and hawed and said, well, we should accommodate to growth, but be sure that it doesn't, that we accept growth and put it in the right places. And ASAP's argument was, well, that's necessary, but it's not sufficient. In addition to telling, having growth areas and rural and natural open areas and so forth, we should put a limit on growth, because smart growth is still growth. And over the long haul, the impacts of growth on our community are simply untenable.
I want to get into that phrase smart growth in a little bit. Write down the phone number, boys and girls, 979-0919. That's 979-0919. If you're a little further out and you want to use the toll-free number, that's 877-WNRN-ROCKS. Because although ASAP is a Albemarle County, Charlottesville-based organization, growth and smart growth are phrases and discussions that apply wherever you live. So write those numbers down. But didn't the, you talk about the percentage, what was the percentage in the 50s or the 60s? Was it not a high and fast percentage then?
Not in the 50s. In the 60s, it started to pick up. Largely fueled by the university originally, although that's no longer the single engine for growth. Now retirees are flocking in, and new businesses and new research.
That's because we're the number one place to live.
Exactly. And Bert Sperling, the guy who cursed us with that dubious blessing, will probably be doing some research in conjunction with ASAP in the coming year. What we're interested in is when he determined that we were the most attractive place to live in the United States, he had an elaborate formula and a lot of data. And we're asking him to run the same analysis with only one change, and that's population size. Would we have been number one if our population had been 50% higher or 100% higher?
So I think for a lot of people, the phrase number one place to live doesn't really have much of a population aspect to it. It certainly plays into it. You know, the number one place to live might not be New York City, easy place to pick, because the large number of people play a role in that. But I think for many people, when you hear that phrase that we were adorned as the number one place to live, that it's because of that you can drive in 10 minutes from downtown Charlottesville before you're driving past horses and cows inside a fenced area, because the university is here. So you can go to major college sporting events, because it's only 2 hours to get to Washington, D.C., because we have so many wonderful restaurants and places to live. So that to the average person, and I proclaim myself to be one, that the numbers, the statistics weren't a big part of it. And you're saying what I heard in that phrase was that's not true.
I don't think it's true. Everything you mentioned about why this is a marvelous place to live is true. But it's obviously also true that the size of a place changes its character. A village is simply not the same as a small town, and a big town is not the same as a small city. The feel, the soul, the character of a place changes. And one of the things that ASAP continually asks, and in fact will do some research on in the coming year, is what would the effects on the character of our community be if we were, say, twice as big? Is it the place that we still want to live? And for many of us, it isn't. Many of us picked this place because of the qualities that you described that are not unrelated to its size.
And Jack Marshall's here on Wake Up Call. He is the president of an organization, ASAP, which spends a lot of time discussing growth and its effect on various parts of where we live. Jack, ASAP's original claim was that a lot of the work was based on the environmental effects, correct?
That the impacts of growth had serious impacts, effects on in the environment, yes.
One of the accusations that has been tossed towards ASAP is that that's really not what your focus is. Your focus is to close the door behind you to be sort of the NIMBY, not in my backyard organization, and really just to stop growth. I'm here now, you stay out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to hear that reply.
Sure. Well, two kinds of replies. First, we're interested not in talking about population as an end in itself. I mean, most of us like folks. We're concerned more with population as a means toward unattractive ends. It's the ends that we care about, and that's maintaining a sustainable environment, a sustainable community, a quality of life that we like, taxes that we can afford. And ASAP's argument is that increased population changes those things, and not for the better. Now, to your second point, are we slamming the door now that we're here? At some point, yeah. Not unlike a person who has land and says, look, I've built a house here, and I'm not going to let other houses be built on my land, or people live in my house. Those of us who've come here, whether generations ago or yesterday, are now responsible for the place. We're stewards of the local environment, and we have a real responsibility to maintain this place for our children and our children's children. Whether we came yesterday or ages ago is not the issue. It's the future. If more people keep coming, if we double, will this be the place we want to leave our children?
What's the current population that we're talking about? Because we have grouped, or you have grouped, Charlottesville and Albemarle mm-hmm. County together, but I'm also curious if that includes part of our surrounding counties who live on the fringes, who drive into Charlottesville, Albemarle every day for work, et cetera.
There are right now about 40,000 people in Charlottesville, and that population hasn't changed for 30, 40 years. And there are about 95,000 today in Albemarle County, and that is changing daily. And we argue that the Charlottesville-Albemarle communities together are a single community, 135,000 or so at the moment. And while what we do in our community, Charlottesville and Albemarle, clearly affects, has ripples on the other contiguous counties, and they do indeed come in here to work, that what we've got to do is try to deal with our own community first. It's an artificial, we acknowledge, it's an artificial bounding of what our community really is, because it is a regional issue, and it's a state issue, a national, ultimately a global issue. But we can't tackle all that. So ASAP's focus is locally.
Is there any conversation about the edges of Albemarle County and the fact that Orange County or Fluvanna County or Nelson County have a major role in their decisions? The two are tied together.
Yes, definitely.
Not necessarily by how many people live there, but by road issues,
yep.
By water issues yep. and decisions.
We've had board members from Nelson, Green, Buckingham, contiguous counties, and we maintain discussions with them. And let me say again that what happens, what we do, even if ASAP is unsuccessful, right now we're seeing that the price of houses is rising so fast that a lot of folks, including school teachers and cops and firemen, can't live here.
The true stewards.
Yeah, exactly. The folks who deserve to be able to live here, and we're driving them out because they can't afford to live in the Charlottesville-Albemarle area anymore. And living in the neighboring counties and commuting in, and that's not a good system either, just in terms of kind of equity or in terms of filling the roads with cars. I guess one of the particular concerns is that we get the benefits of those people's work in our community, but the neighboring counties have to build the schools for their kids and jack up the taxes as a result. You're right, Rick. This is a regional issue, and we've got to be thinking regionally. But but ASAP had to start somewhere.
979-0919 for your question. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. If you live in one of those surrounding counties or elsewhere in the state, listening to Wake Up Call today with Jack Marshall. He's the president of Advocates for a sustainable Albemarle population. That's ASAP. That's what we mean when we say that this hour. So 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. And there's also WNRN Studio. You want to send your question online. Jack, we've been talking about population and housing was mentioned several times. One of the things that I found online when doing my homework for the program today, it had to do with housing, and I know I'm not going to get this exactly right, but it's how I read it, was to keep the availability of housing at a maximum, because then you could not have but so many people. That was one method to put a cap on the population, to keep whatever the number is, and we'll get to that, whatever the number is decided upon, if it's decided upon, that one of the ways to make that happen is to limit the number of residences. So I'm curious as to how that happens. Because it seems that if you have a certain number, then the cost of the housing goes up.
Yep.
And so then the people that we've been discussing, the cops, the firemen, the school teachers, they can afford even less.
Yep. Yep. Let's go back a couple steps. First, it surprises people when they're reminded that there is already in Albemarle County and in Charlottesville a cap on local growth. And it's a result of the zoning. On every single plot of land in this community, there is a limit on how many residential units you can build, how many industrial, whether or not you can do anything with industrial or commercial growth. And if you tally up all the potential residential units on every plot, you get a build-out. You get the build-out residential unit, you multiply that by 2.3 or whatever the average number of residents is in each house, and you got the limit on population growth that's now legally imposed. So what ASAP is saying is, first, what is that number? What is that current legal build-out as a result of zoning?
Right, do the math.
And
the that idea, no one that and, isn't printed in the paper.
Well, the funny thing is, you'd think that that would be a pretty important planning tool for local communities, that you'd want to know what your potential for development is. And yet that number is not available. But the second question is, when it does become available, when we figure it out, is that what we want? Or is that build out simply a function, as it is in most communities, of both accidental past zoning and the preferences of the few who profit from growth? And what ASAP is saying is, let's make a rational decision about what that build out is, not just resulting from who profits and who's powerful, but what all of us want in terms of quality of life, in terms of protecting the environment. And it may well be that the current build-out, that is, the current zoning, simply allows too many people, and that we would like to reduce the development potential.
Even if that's the case, even if we just go with the number that currently exists,
135,000 in the two.
Well, I'm talking about the unknown number that you mentioned.
Okay. The build-out.
The build-out number. At some point, if that's all you allow, it seems to me that the incoming number of people would continue to increase. The people who want to live in Charlottesville, Albemarle, for whatever purpose, for a job, for family, for school, for whatever personal reason that you come to this area, that number will continue to go up.
Well, there will continue to be people who want to live in the best place in the United States to live, sure.
So
do we have an obligation?
As they move in, they will purchase or build or whatever a home or a residence, and the cost of that will increase. So again, I can't afford to live here anymore because someone has come to pay more than I can afford to pay. And so I'm driven out.
And that's just what's happening now. And it would continue to happen were ASAP to be successful. And so Right from the very beginning, ASAP has been vigorous in linking our objectives with the provision of low-cost and affordable housing in the community.
We don't have any of that.
We're doing a lousy job. The city is doing a better job than the county, but both are aware of the need, but simply not doing enough. What we've got to do is create more effective private-public partnerships. But it takes taxpayers' money to stimulate those kinds of things, and that kind of money's short these days. But you're right, Rick. We've got to think, whether an ASAP exists or not, we've got to think much more effectively about how we can provide moderate cost housing, and especially affordable low-cost housing.
And that's not near the top of ASAP's current goals.
Oh, it is. Oh, it's one of it right from the very beginning. It's been, we've worked hand in glove. And in fact, one of our founders and current board members is past Mayor Francis Fife of Charlottesville, and his life has been devoted largely to providing low-cost and affordable housing. No, we're very much aware of this.
11:21 on the Wake Up Call with Jack Marshall. He's the president of the group ASAP. We're talking about growth, and we're going to take this break, and we're going to come back and talk about smart growth and exactly what that is. Markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Cloudy today, highs 70 to 75, 40% chance of showers tonight. Lows 55 to 60, mostly cloudy tomorrow, highs 75 to 80. Right now it's pretty nice across the listening area. Clear in the valley in 66, clouds elsewhere, 64 in Lynchburg, 70 in Richmond, 64 in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And let's thank Alt Energy for supporting us today. Alt Energy, providing professional design and installation of solar energy systems in Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Alt Energy solar systems can pay for themselves and reduce your carbon footprint. More online, altenergyincorporated.com. And not that you would, but don't go anywhere, because we need to thank Brenda Clement-Jones, Ashley Franzen, and Sarah Landon for contributing in the Spring Fund Drive. It's because of folks like them that you hear the Wake Up Call on Sundays. Also, thanks to program underwriters like the ones you hear this hour, as well as Jim Price Hyundai and Shenandoah Spring. So stay tuned. Tell your friend about the Wake Up Call, and please be here next Sunday for the fall fundraiser. All right, back in action with Jack Marshall, president of ASAP. Jack, you wanted to throw something out at me.
Oh, I guess my point was that it's unclear to me how endless growth, how continued growth in our community would help the either the job market for the less advantaged or the housing market. And I think, Rick, we've always got to be comparing the advantages and disadvantages of endless growth, continued growth, with the advantages and disadvantages of some sort of rational cap on growth.
Well, we do that with smart growth, right?
Well, smart.
I hear that all the time. Smart growth, smart growth.
Well, we think smart growth ain't the answer, ain't the long-term answer. It started about 20 years ago, and progressive communities glommed onto it and said, oh, look, growth is going to occur, and let's be sure that it does as little damage as possible.
That's smart shopping. I mean, it's smart everything. You always want to do what you're doing smart.
Yep, exactly. And ASAP takes the next step, and it's a radical step. No other community, no other organization that we're aware of at the local level in the country has said there has to be a limit. Not just should we grow smart, that is, continue to grow, but in the presumably least painful ways, but we've got to cap growth. We've got to limit it at some point. Curiously, we acknowledge that. Virtually every thoughtful person acknowledges that at the global level. Obviously, we can't grow forever. But what ASAP is saying is we've also got to think about that logic at the local level.
Jack Marshall here, president of Advocates for a Sustainable Albemarle Population. That's the local organization ASAP, as we talk about growth in our area. Jack, here's a question online. You can dial us up, 979-0919 or 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. But we were talking about build out, I guess, was the term you used. And here's a question. Your thoughts on regulations prohibiting the number of divisions one family can create for other family members. Now, if I remember right, Albemarle County has said that whatever your property size is, you can only subdivide it X number of times for, you know, if your grandpa, you can cut your property once to give your parents some property, and then if they have three or four kids, you can only subdivide it a couple more times for them, regardless of how large your property is.
Yeah, kind of. The current regulations in the county are that you can, if your property, as of 1980, you could divide your property into up to 5 2-acre plots and then 21-acre plots. And then there were special arrangements made for family subdivisions. And we think that those make sense, that we've got to realize that a lot of landowners, their wealth is in their land and in their property rights. They may not have a stock portfolio, but they've got land that they farm or timber. And ASAP wants to be sure that those folks aren't unnecessarily penalized. But what we've got to do is step back and ask the big question is, and let me go back, Rick. I'm not trying to avoid that particular question, but we've got three questions we've got to ask as a smart community. Can we grow endlessly? And we think the answer to that is obviously no. No community on a finite amount of land can grow endlessly. The next question is, well, if not, then so when do you stop? And that's the research that I imagine we'll get to in a minute. Can we identify roughly a range at which our optimal sustainable population is? And the third question then, okay, how do you go about doing the stopping? And that's where we get it. All of these bring up a lot of ethical questions. And this last one in particular, and your listener's question, gets into the ethics of the strategy of taking away somebody's property rights, development rights. The argument, the big question is there a conflict between the individual rights and the long-term community good? And the answer is yes, we know that. There are a thousand ways to illustrate it. And how can we protect the long-term good of the whole community without penalizing an individual landowner by taking away his or her property rights? And the answer is maybe by transferring development rights or actually purchasing them. And right now, the county has a wonderful program, the ACE program, that actually pays landowners to sell the development rights on their property to
right, they
the
don't
county.
Sell the land.
They don't. The land still can be sold, just you know, or given to descendants, but they give away only the right to subdivide it, which reduces reduces the value of the land because the speculative value of the land is gone, but it can still be used for farming. And everybody wins. The community over the long haul wins because we know that subdividing that, popping houses on with kids that have to go to school, building the schools for those kids, costs a tremendous amount for the community. And so the county has calculated that it in the long haul, it's worth paying to buy those development rights.
11:29 on the wake-up call with Jack Marshall, president of ASAP. Let me toss this news out to you that our support today, also coming from NBC 29, covering the news is a team effort, and you can be part of the team. The number to report news when you see it is 220-2970. That's NBC News in HD. They're on at sunrise, noon, 5, 5:36, and 11. Thanks to NBC 29 for being there with us today. Jack, we're the research. You mentioned the research. You were in the newspaper recently for the research that ASAP has done over, I guess, the last year. Started in 2008, finished recently in 2009 and now has started to hit the media, alerting everyone as to the finality of this research.
Yep.
Share.
A little over a year ago, ASAP started what we're calling the Optimal Sustainable Population Size Project. It's a mouthful, OSPS project. The aim of that is to help the community, the Albemarle-Charlottesville community, identify its right size. And it's the first time, let me say again, it's the first time any community has ever done such a thing. And we first approached the city and the county and said, hey, you guys should do this research because it's an essential planning tool, and it's important for the long-term sustainability of the community to know what our optimal sustainable size is. And first they said, no, it's a crazy idea. Then they said, well, it's not so crazy, but we can't do it because we don't have the staff or the money. And so we came back and said, listen, if you'll give us some seed money, we'll be able to get more money, and then we can hire independent scientists to do the kind of research that'll give you and us, the community, feedback on what our right size might be. And
it sounds like something that you plug into a computer and it spits out the number. I mean, the vision, being a sports fan, that I have is every year before the Super Bowl, they plug all the information in about each team, and then, you know, the number that comes back says if you played, 100,000 times, this team would win, 800 and so that's the vision in my head, is of this big IBM computer in a room, like they might have it NORAD or something.
I wish it were that simple. I wish there were a big computer that we could plug numbers into. We don't have the computer. We don't have the model. Let me say again, no community has done this. This is a new concept, the idea of a community identifying its own optimal sustainable size and then doing something about it. That is saying, well, it doesn't make sense to grow beyond that optimal sustainable size. Let's find a way to limit growth there. But right now our research is an attempt to try to get our arms around this concept. What is our right size? And so with the seed money that we got from the city and the county, and it took courage, it was a bold move for them to give us money. We got other funding from both ASAP members and friends and from the Colcomb Foundation, and launched a two-phase research project. The first phase looks at the biological carrying capacity of our community. And the second phase will look, it hasn't started yet, look at socioeconomic issues that should be considered as a community tries to identify where it wants to be. And there is no clear model. One of our studies, the one that I'll talk about in a minute, looks at what happens to these essential ecosystem services as a population increases in our community and eats away at the fields and
forests. Explain that a little bit. Ecosystem services. That sounds like water and healthy air.
Yeah, well, it's it's what produces the clean water and healthy air.
So if I chop all the trees down to build a subdivision and I dig up all the water that might filter through before it gets to the reservoir, is that what you're talking about?
Yep, exactly. It turns out that the natural environment of our community ain't just its pretty face. The fields and forests and streams, the animals, big and microscopic, all the living organisms working together, functioning together as a unit in any environmental system, comprise an ecological system, an ecosystem. And that provides immense services to the humans around it that we take for granted. We don't even think about it, and we don't pay for. For example, pollinating crops, all these luscious peaches and apples that we're getting now, or we got the peaches, wouldn't have occurred if the trees hadn't been pollinated. I live on the Mormons. The beautiful clarity of the Mormons River wouldn't occur if the forests around it hadn't filtered out some of the toxins and silt that would go into it. The trees absorb carbon and clean the air. These are ecosystem services that are essential for the maintenance of any community and have only recently been recognized. and are tremendously valuable. And yet, as our population grows and we fill up fields and we chop down forests, these ecosystem services are degraded. And we wanted to know, is there a point as population grows at which the degradation of these services is so severe that the community is in jeopardy? And that's what Dr. Jantz has done.
Who?
Dr. Claire Jantz, a specialist at the University of at Chippensburg University in the Department of Geography and Earth Sciences, and a specialist in land use change modeling, and has done a lot of work in the Chesapeake Bay watershed on development pressures. Led this research. In fact, she's going to be here Tuesday. She's going to speak at the at a League of Women Voters community dialogue at noon on Tuesday in the Old County Office Buildings Lane Auditorium, and I urge your listeners to attend that. She'll also be speaking to the City Council tomorrow night and the County Supervisors on Tuesday morning. But she did a study for us that has just been released, or last month released, where she quantified the impacts of population growth on these essential ecosystem services.
Jack Marshall here as we talk about growth, and now we're talking about a recently released study about what could be identifying where growth should stop in the Charlottesville-Albemarle area. Mr. Marshall, president of Advocates for a Sustainable Albemarle Population, 979-0919, 1-877 WNRN Rocks. You want to call in with your question. Jack, here's another question that popped up. Is, aren't these questions personal? And I'm guessing that when you say, aren't these questions personal, it's, you know, we were talking earlier about too many trees, or, you know, can you say, I'll give up the trees because I want a bigger target? Can we give up the trees, or, you know, the water? And we haven't even gotten to that about the reservoir area, but, you know, I want a place with more retail space.
Yes.
You know, I want more homes because I need a better selection for jobs than I currently have.
Okay. And the answer is, yeah, of course. There's no clear, obvious answer that everybody's going to agree on. Yes, we should have 267,000 people in our community. It's a result of what you want. And the same kinds of decisions we make when we vote for a political candidate, or we decide where a school should be and how big it should be, or how much water we want, or whether a road bypass should be built. I mean, all these things reflect the preferences, the values, the beliefs of the citizens. And that's what this is, too. The object of all this research is not to tell anybody what to do, but to provide facts for what is now a pretty ill-informed decision based on, often on, short-term personal profits. And we want to bring this out and say, hey, these are the costs and these are the benefits of continued growth, and these are the costs and these are the benefits of stopping growth. And let's make an informed decision for the community. Each of these research projects, let me say, it's like the blind man trying to define the elephant. Each blind man grabs a different part of the elephant. One gets the side, he thinks it looks like a wall, and another the tail, and says, oh, this animal is like a rope. Each of our research projects, looking at optimal population size, that's our elephant, is going to come up with a different kind of answer. And together, they may help us get a better sense of what the community's right size would be. But it still, obviously, is up to the community to make decisions about whether or not they want to grow endlessly or try to level off at a reasonable size.
11:40 on the Wake Up Call with Jack Marshall, president of ASAP. Be right back.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, in this week's Hook, when a local citizen began staking out undercover police officers during their drug investigations, who knew it would become a heated First Amendment issue? There's another blind date challenge in this week's copy. And pick up your naked girl pictures for free. The Hook looks back on many of the UVA women having posed nude for Playboy with a photo montage that has created quite a stir, at least according to The Progress. The Hook, think globally and read locally. And support for WNRN today also coming from Blue Ridge Mountain Sports. Inviting you to join them and Outdoor Recreation and the Intramural Recreational Sports Department at UVA for a slide presentation by famed ski mountaineer Kit DeLaurier, who has skied the highest peaks on all seven continents. Show takes place on October 14th and is open to the public. Info is at thenorthface.com/speaker series or at brms.com. That's Blue Ridge Mountain Sports in Charlottesville, Wintergreen, Richmond, and at brms.com. All right, back with Jack Marshall from ASAP. Jack, you were talking about the current or the recently released study for optimal sustainable population size project. You mentioned the money. Some people have been upset that money came from the city and the county as a waste of tax dollars, and others were upset that money came from the Colcomb Foundation, who has been noted for giving money to hate groups. Please, I'd like to take a moment and talk about both of that.
Sure. I want to live, and I think most of us want to live, in a community that makes informed decisions about what it does, how it develops, where it goes. And fortunately, both the city and the county do hire consultants and do research and examine what are the impacts of the actions that they take. And the city and the county both decided that this concept of an optimal sustainable size was worth looking into, and boldly decided to help support the research. And I'm proud to be in a community that is willing to take a first step. No other community that we know in the whole United States has done this. It reflects very favorably on Charlottesville and Albemarle that they gave us seed money for this, with which, as I said before, we got more money. And one of the other sources was the Colcomb Foundation. The Colcomb Foundation is, its founders, one of its founders' focuses was population growth, legitimate. Much of the research has gone into looking at immigration, national immigration.
Right, how to keep people out has been the accusation.
ASAP has no stance on national immigration. But when they realized that here was a community and an organization for the first time asking an important question about the limits to local growth, they said, let's support that. Let's give them some money. I'm proud to have accepted the money. Our board knew exactly what Colcomb had given money to before and decided that we were doing important, good, ethical research, and there was no reason not to take the money.
But aren't you judged by who you keep as friends? I think that's part of the argument as to should you have taken that money.
Yes, obviously one is judged by whom you have as friends, but the importance of but Colcomb is not a bad organization, and that it's not true that they've funded hate groups, I have no reservations at all about having accepted the Colcomb money.
All right, Jack Marshall here, president of ASAP, as we talk about how much is too much growth. Dial us up. I keep getting emails today for questions. That's fine. 979-0919. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. If you don't want your voice online or over air, just ask Sean to bring your question in. Here's another question online. Is the population cap for the area as a whole, or what about Crozet?
Ah, good question.
So I guess are you subdividing Crozet into having its own cap, or
no.
does it can it have everybody who still comes in, and that be where we put all the new people until we reach the limit?
It's a good question, both by you, Rick, and the person who emailed in. ASAP so far has been looking at the community as a whole, the Albemarle-Charlottesville community, with the assumption that if we can figure out an overall optimal size, that then planners can divvy up the community and say, okay, some goes there and some goes there and much less goes out there. Now, Crozet has become a little microcosm of this whole interesting fight. There was an attempt made initially to say, well, what is the build-out? It's a growth area, and the folks in Crozet agreed to live in a growth area. They said that. But the planners blew it when they tried to define the potential build-out of the new expanded master plan. And the folks who live in Crozet said, well, no, wait a minute. We agreed to be a growth area, but not that big. And I think that's a legitimate complaint. Even areas in the community, the Route 29, the new Route 29 area, Crozet, and so forth, even they have the right to say what their density should be, because growth changes the character of a community. And the folks in Crozet said, no, we don't want to be quite that big. So I guess to answer your question, Rick, the ASAP approach isn't yet to suggest where the growth should occur, but just that there should be a limit on the overall growth. Now, having said that, this first research that we've just released does divide the Charlottesville-Albemarle community into 8 sub-areas, and points out that at the pace of the way growth is likely to occur, it'll fill up in 4 urban growth areas first, and then ripple out into what are rural areas. And what Dr. Jantz has observed is that at a 50% increase in the overall population, that is, if our population goes up to a population of 186,000, services within the developing, that is, the growth sub-areas, Crozet being one, begin a real marked fall-off in ecosystem services. And if the population of the whole community grows up to 125,000, 125%, which is 280,000, then the deterioration of the ecosystem starts to go beyond those growth areas, and the degradation becomes widespread, impacting even the rural areas. And those are the kinds of numbers that I think we need for better planning.
I noticed that the name of the professor again, who
Jantz,
did the study?
Dr. Jantz. Uh-huh.
You mentioned her specialties as being ecological, correct?
Yes. She's in the Department of Geography and Earth Sciences at Shippensburg.
And ASAP, Advocates for Sustainable Albemarle Population, started on the foundation of being an environmental organization.
Yes, although not exclusively. The activists around the table when we created ourselves, some were concerned about the long-term social impacts of continued
growth. But economical, because it seems to me that at this point, the study for optimal growth must have an economical viewpoint.
Good point.
And I didn't hear any of that in the production of this research.
Because I didn't mention it, but you're perfectly right, Rick. And remember I said the Optimal Sustainable Population Size Project has 2 phases. The first tries to look at the biological carrying capacity. And that's where this study that I've been talking about, that's the environmental stuff. But the second phase looks at socioeconomic things. We haven't started that yet, but we know what the 4 studies will be. And one of them will be looking at the economic costs of growth. As growth occurs, what are going to be the demands for new schools and roads and cops and firemen and so forth? And what will be the taxes? And study after study in other communities have shown that growth does not pay for itself. That is residential growth. When you start bringing in big industrial and commercial enterprises, yeah, the taxes can pay for themselves.
So there's four parts. So there's two, the environmental part that was just
right. The first, the first cluster
the socioeconomic.
Of studies.
The what first are the
cluster,
other two?
Well, the first cluster of studies are environmental. Then the second phase is socioeconomic. One looks at the costs of growth. One looks at the changing character of a community as it grows. One that I mentioned before that we're doing with Bert Sperling, who designated us the best place to live, is the reanalysis of his data. And there is one more that I'm
blocking
on.
Sorry, it's live
now.
Radio. It'll pop up to your head in a minute. 11:51 on the wake-up call. As we talk with Jack Marshall, president of ASAP, and talk about how much growth is too much growth. Let me thank Ben Around Tattoos for allowing us to be on the air. You can find them in downtown Waynesboro, featuring male and female tattoo artists. Ben Around Tattoos has thousands of designs available and can create work from a design that you provide. Piercing also available. Ben Around Tattoos in downtown Waynesboro or at 701 West Main Street in Charlottesville. For more information, it's online. And by the way, it's the person's name, Ben, not Bend, like I've sometimes been told I sound like. So it's BenAroundTattoos.com. And back with Jack Marshall talking about growth. Jack, growth, one of the major discussions in our area over the last couple of years has been water supply. And some of the initial studies that I did about ASAP is that ASAP wants to talk in the, not the general, but not to pick specific community arguments to get involved with. The focus is on growth and environment, but not to, at least my understanding is that you don't want to say, this is the decision that should be made about water supply. Did I understand that properly?
Well, more or less. ASAP has made a policy decision that we're not going to speak about a specific development, a developer's project, unless it illustrates a larger principle that we're talking about. So, in fact, we got involved speaking about Biscuit Run, not as Biscuit Run itself, but as a general principle.
As a large place right. in our area, and with this being their goal.
Yeah, right. And does, you know, we asked if developing that really helped the overall sustainability of our community. We do get involved in other things, although we've got a number of board members who are involved in the controversy about the current water supply, ASAP has made an explicit policy decision not to take a stance on it. We got more on our plate than we can handle. We're not involved in the Meadow Creek Parkway issue either.
How about Places 29, which has also recently released their report?
I wish we had got involved with that because I think it's right up our alley. We just don't have the volunteer time to do that. But I think that is something that we, like Crozet, we should be more involved. It is a microcosm of the big issue. Let me go back and just mention one other thing that I wish I'd said earlier. ASAP argues that growth will stop in every community for one of three reasons. One, it'll stop because the community runs out of an essential resource. It might be water, it might be land, it might, if it's farming country and so forth, but in a finite area, it cannot grow forever without running out of an essential resource. Or secondly, growth will stop because the place becomes so unattractive that people don't want to go there anymore. It's no longer the best place in the United States to live. And
folks, you mean like Lynchburg?
You're going to make a lot
Sorry.
Of enemies.
I know. I said that because there were some recent letters to the editor in the Lynchburg paper mocking Charlottesville.
The examples that we use are inner cities and increasingly a number of suburbs that are just stopping growth because nobody wants to go there anymore. Or a community will stop growing because it can see those other alternatives. And it says, let's stop short of that. let's not go all the way to that line. Let's identify our optimal sustainable size and implement policies, fair and equitable policies, that allow us to avoid those excesses.
All right, a few minutes left, 11:55 here on the Wake Up Call. This is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. Drew Thompson recently walked in the room. Don't go anywhere because you're mad at me, folks in Lynchburg. You can stay tuned and listen to Les Temps Perdue. Talking with Jack Marshall from Advocates for a Sustainable Albemarle Population. Jack, I want to know how long before the next round of research is completed?
I expect in the next couple of weeks we're going to get three or four research reports done. We're doing the ones that I haven't even mentioned that are focused on our carrying capacity, the biological carrying capacity. One looks at the footprint. No study, despite the fact that we've talked a lot about this in our community, no one's ever really examined the ecological footprint of the Charlottesville-Albemarle area. We've done it, and we're going to release it soon. Another study looks at the impacts of growth on stream quality, building on research that had been done by John Murphy. Another study looks at the impacts of growth on air quality, and the final one in this set, this first phase, looks at the impacts of growth on groundwater. And those should all come out within the next 2 to 4 weeks.
Just a few moments left, Jack. I want to know what ASAP considers to be some of the best and the worst current rules and regulations that are being used by Charlottesville and Albemarle in terms of ASAP's goals for optimal growth.
Interesting question. As I said before, the county has adopted some progressive policies progressive smart growth policies to increase the probability that growth will occur in the areas where the county wants growth to occur. And the most obvious one is designating only 5% of the county as growth area and 95% as rural area. And in the 95%, it didn't allow it reduced zoning, and it didn't allow pipes for water or sewer. And so if you want to, the theory was that it would be more expensive to go out there and have your own well and so forth. But if you wanted to live in the growth area where they wanted the growth to occur, you could be hooked up with pipes for both water and sewer. And that's smart. That's a smart growth strategy. I mentioned before the ACE program, I think, is very good. The county forks out over $1 million a year to buy development rights from folks who don't want their land to go to a speculator, to a developer, but don't have the money to avoid that unless they sell the development rights.
All right, you got about 30 seconds left for something that you don't like.
The fact that the county doesn't know its potential for build out, it doesn't know how many people it is zoned for, is inexcusable. And it claims that that's a very difficult calculation to make, and I know it is.
But you've said that no one else knows that.
Oh, other communities do. Other communities. I mean, we know it for Crozet. We just don't know it for the whole Albemarle County, Charlottesville area.
I thought you
area.
Said no one had done this work.
Oh, no one has done the work that ASAP is doing to identify what it should be. But I'm saying that there already is zoning that determines a build-out.
But doing the simple math.
Doing the simple math.
Number of potential residences times average number of people.
Tallying up on each parcel, and it is a dog of a task.
But can't someone take that and give them that number before the next board meeting?
I wish it were that simple, but I've been told that you've got to look at each parcel individually to see how many subdevelopment or development rights it has, whether it's near a stream because you can't develop there on a hillside or whatever. So it's not an easy task.
Jack, I could continue this article forever, and I see the phone ringing now as often. But Drew's up next with Les Temps Perdue. You will come back on in the future, won't you?
At any time you ask. All thanks, right. Rick. Good to talk with
thanks
you.
Thanks so much. Please tune in next week and make a donation, even if you're winning in Lynchburg, where I really do love you, which is an easy take.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@AOL.com or at wakeupcall@WNRN.org. The wake-up call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.